Bum, 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 bum. It's another Bright Side podcast. And today I've got Jasmine, Freddie, and Micah. And what we're just going to do, man, is just fucking talk about Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, a movie that just came out about a week or two ago, three, I don't know. And it just broke records just across the board, how many people went to go see it. And it just had a shocking moment for me. I just needed to do this episode to vent about it. I'm a big Batman fan. I used to watch all the cartoons and all the damn read all the comics. Not really anymore, but still an avid fan, and I like the one that Christian Bale did the most. So I've seen all the Batman movies, including the cartoons movies. So watching this was kind of a shocker. So we all just wanted to get together and talk. I hope you guys maybe relate, maybe you disagree, but whatever. It's let us know, I guess, at abspodcast.com. But I mean, damn. Right? I mean, come on, right? Anyway, I'm Christian, and this is another Bright Side Podcast. Oh, hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I got Jasmine here.
Hey, guys.
And Freddie, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
So
did I get uber close? And
we got that Marvin Gaye going.
Yeah, you have that weird thing. Like
that 90s R&B just talking.
When I'm on mic, I feel nasally. So I just want to, you know, when I talk into the mic, I want to hit puberty so I can get that low.
What? You mean you want to squeak your voice? Like,
not squeak, but at least get a lower tone so I can get that Barry Manilow low.
Okay.
He's about that life.
Well, anyway, I also have Micah here.
How's it going?
Mike, all right. So the whole reason why we're doing this, right, is because we need to talk about a movie that just recently came out, and it's very reflective of our politics right now, and represents so much about our culture, which is, of course, the dum bum bum, the Batman versus Superman, Dawn of, what is it, Justice?
Dawn of Justice.
Oh, yeah. Dawn of Justice, or Injustice? Justice. No,
it was an injustice for that 2.5 hours.
The fucking biggest injustice ever. I've never heard so much in the movie theater.
You never wanted time in your life back more than in that theater.
Oh, no. I wanted to walk out 3 times. In fact, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but if you think about it, I mean, didn't you have a feeling that the other people in the theater knew what it was? Like, didn't you get that at all?
I feel like they didn't know exactly what they were getting into. I know, like, when I went, I could hear a lot of groans, and I feel like I went with a bunch of fanboys. They were like, oh, oh, oh. But there were some moments where they were actually, like, surprised.
Yeah, see, by the time we saw it, like, I mean, I think we've been on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's been out for, what, like, a week or so?
Yeah, we saw it. Yeah. We just saw it, like, the week after, and it was empty.
No, oh, yeah. Like, by the time they heard about it, it was like, what, 29% still on Rotten Tomatoes?
Well, it fell, like, viewership fell in 1 week, 68%. It's like the new record. The only thing that beat it, it beat Fantastic Four.
Oh,
God.
And
yeah, but Fantastic Four was a shit show, too, so.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Well, it beat as in, like, you know, the worst drop ever.
Okay.
You know, like, that's a huge amount.
I thought you were talking recent movies that were in the cinema at the time that it was released, not overall flops.
Oh, well.
That's still pretty. Dude, it broke records money-wise
and in failure wise.
Like it made all its money that first 3 days.
And wallets.
Actually, no, it hasn't.
It hasn't?
No, it will. It needs about, I think Vanity said it needs 800 billion, I think. No, 800 million. No, 800 billion or something.
100 billion to make.
To make money?
No, no, to break even.
To break even.
Well, at least to get their investment back.
Okay.
Yeah, because they put, what, $600 million to marketing it? And they did a great job marketing it, except I watched the entire movie and all those trailers. Mm-hmm. Except for probably the little tidbits of, like, of the Justice League mini videos that you saw. Yeah. That's the only... I've seen the entire movie in probably 5 minutes.
By the time you actually...
Yeah, I was like, movie. I've seen that scene. I've seen that scene. Yeah. Oh, I've seen that scene too.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, that was that part of that commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think they revealed too much in the commercials?
No, that was not the problem.
That wasn't the problem. No, the problem started with Zack Snyder. And not even there, WB. Warner Brothers.
That's not fair. They put Christopher Nolan. I don't know.
Nolan's pretty badass.
Yeah.
It's just maybe Snyder.
It's Snyder.
But see, you're a...
It's definitely...
She's coming from the point of view of a comic book who read the comics. I'm just as a fan going...
Because I used to read the comics too, and
Jessica told me he was like biggest Batman fan ever. And
yeah,
I was like,
seriously,
I never read any comics.
Well, I used to read the comic book, like the Dark Knight and Dark Knight versus Spawn, which was one of my favorite fucking like comics ever. And then I also read the Superman Dies one where he comes back, and I know what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. But they fucked up horrifically, dude. I've never seen it this bad.
Yeah.
But, they try to put like three different comic book plots into one movie, and like there were all three. I think there was
There might have been a fourth.
Yeah.
I know they put Dark Knight Returns, even though they did say it was like, oh, it's not going to be Dark Knight Returns. It definitely was Dark Knight Returns.
Well, okay, whatever.
Which is Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Then the Batman Dies.
Well, and also when Superman dies.
Yeah, Superman dies, sorry.
And also when
Superman versus Batman was Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank Miller's.
But there were,
and then I think there was that moment where that red suit guy comes out during a...
The Red Hood?
It wasn't the Red Hood. I think it was the Flash.
No, they depicted... Each of the Justice Leagues in that one scene where you got Aquaman, you got The Flash, you got Wonder Woman, and then...
So they're calling them the dream sequences nightmares with a K because he's the Dark Knight, obviously, so that's a pun on that. And it's the one where he's in the desert, and they're saying that he was never asleep. It's actual memory that he was, like, witnessing.
Like Inception?
That was
a trippy scene.
Yeah, it was so trippy. Was because weird. Then you see these flying things, and I had no idea. I'm not as well-versed in... comic books as Freddie says that I am, but they're called the flying things. I'm like, what are these? I don't even know. I was listening to other people talking about it, and they're actual characters from the comic books that people were really stoked about having because they're bringing in another plot. And that's one of the big things about this entire movie that I didn't like, is they were just trying to put so much into it.
Yeah.
And they couldn't just told the story, that one plot that they needed to tell.
Well, and that's what kind of makes me wonder, because like earlier you said, you know, you kind of blame the director and like also like Warner Brothers. But so, I mean, Zack Snyder, like, why do you think that something like 300 or like Watchmen, why do you think he keeps getting these projects?
I think because when it comes to like actually like cinematography, he's great at it. It was definitely like, it was beautiful to watch. Like the first scene where I think... Don't shake your head at me, Christian. I thought it was a really... I had, like, the way I described it to people is, like, I had low expectations, so low that I actually kind of enjoyed the movie because it was okay to watch. It was too dark for me, though. Like, visually dark.
I think the tone was just...
Are you serious? Because I felt like I needed to stare away.
Honestly, I blinked. I had to, like... Because it was so dark to me, but like cinematography wise, the way he moved the camera, it was a Zack Snyder movie for sure.
See, but I felt like it was it was just too bright, like too vivid.
I thought it was too dark.
Yeah,
like, I thought it was way too dark. Like I was like thinking in my head, and some scenes were like, I wish it was a little brighter.
Is that the genius part? Like we can't decide. Like what was going on? Yeah, Superman.
Superman was going through puberty. It was what's happening. He was just super emotional, super emo when he was supposed to be like the brightest thing in there. They
both were just
Batman
emotionless and just very sad throughout the whole movie. That's what I got from both of them. There was no humor. Like, whereas Marvel, there's some humor throughout the whole movie. This one, the funniest part of the whole movie was when Batman said, oh shit.
Yeah, did you see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, I just recently saw it.
And that's the thing, it's like, I feel like Guardians of the Galaxy that actually kind of like, I don't know, because it doesn't take itself so serious and it's actually taking into account what is the experience of watching this going to be like. I feel like that's why something like that's more successful. Because the reviews keep saying that Batman versus Superman is emotionless. I'm trying to figure out exactly what that means, but I guess it's because it's just so...
I think because they're comparing it to Marvel movies. Because Marvel movies of Iron Man throughout to right now, what is it, Civil War that's coming out? They have a serious side to it, but it doesn't take itself seriously. It knows that it's a comic book movie. It knows it's a little campy at times. I think and you it knows felt it.
Throughout the whole movie, just the tone of the whole movie, your shoulders slumped. And that's how I felt, because there was no happiness, there was no joy, it was just
serious. I would say that, honestly, it was as if they were written without any backstory, without any true, like, reason why they're feeling or doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was a lot of plot holes where a lot of things just assume the audience knows, which just make blanks when you just watch it. You know, it's almost as if these are clips of a better, bigger movie, you know, and they just not put correctly. They just don't make sense the way they were put together.
Yeah, I could say that. I could say it's definitely just a 2.5-hour trailer for Justice League.
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely.
And not actual story.
It was like, oh, here's Bruce Wayne. Why is he so mad? Because Superman blew up his building.
Doesn't that make you take a little bit of the pressure off the director though at that point? Because I mean, because then you wonder, well, how much control did you actually have of this then? If there was these characters he had to service that didn't really, you know what I mean, that didn't really have any motivation or justification in the script itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, like at that point, all you can do is shoot it and make it look as, you know what I mean, as amazing as well as possible, you can. Right?
Yeah, I get that for sure. But at the same time, he didn't necessarily need to have them there. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, they're coming out, like, and I hate doing it, comparing it. There's no
subtlety. The other movies are subtle. Like, here's a character for maybe 5 seconds, and then end of the movie. It was just all... you saw Wonder Woman, and then you got the whole Justice League in
clips.
Yeah, in clips, and then that was it.
You know what's interesting is that everything you're describing, like subtlety and actually like trying to like be a little bit more like restraint with like the content that you actually have in the film. I think that's everything that the Dark Knight series got right. Yeah. And also when you think about it, I mean the one with the Joker in it. The second one, the one with Heath Ledger.
Oh yeah,
Dark Knight. Yeah, it's kind of like, even though I think what happened is that this reboot was trying to copy that style, but the thing is that style had a great sense of humor. I mean, everything with like Heath Ledger, like that was, you know, I mean, like that was super funny in its own kind of weird way. Mm-hmm. So I think what's wrong with this movie is that it's essentially an imitation.
Yeah, it's trying to be earnest it's trying to be really earnest. And they're saying like, oh, we're not trying to be in that Nolanverse where it's just dark and whatever, but it's like, it's the same thing, honestly. It's just with a different character.
The genius of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
Who directed Dark Knight?
Christopher Nolan.
Okay, Christopher Nolan. Maybe.
Yeah, he's the one that does Inception, Memento. He's pulling
away from Batman. He wants to do his other projects.
Yeah, well, I mean, he always planned on doing 3.
Yeah.
Well, actually, at the very beginning, he said he only wanted to do 1, and I think he kind of like gradually like, okay, man, I might do 2, and then like depending on how that does, I might do 3. Mm-hmm. I think he was kind of apprehensive about the whole thing. Cause,
yeah.
Really? Because I heard different.
What they said, I think they said they always saw the trilogy like in sight, like they weren't trying to make it up as they went along story wise. But I don't think he actually committed to these films in advance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You learn something new every day. Yeah.
If he had directed just the first one and not the second or third, the vision would have just been totally dejected and not, it wouldn't have seemed uniform as it was.
Yeah. I don't know. this seems like it was trying to do the same thing for like five different other movies.
Yeah, you know,
and it's just like, let me
grab this scene from here, this scene from here, and just put it together with no uniformity.
I mean, somebody told me the intro was really good, and when I saw that, it was okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't that impressed either. Yeah, I think I felt like it was trying to be more like the cartoon at that point, or the 1990s version of the cartoon.
Mm, yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was okay.
I mean, we didn't need another origin story for sure.
So how many times have you seen that?
I think I've seen an origin story like nearly every Batman
incarnation. Every Batman. Every new Batman has an origin story.
Yeah. I think Batman's been around since, what, the 1930s? I think everybody knows how he becomes Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, though, because...
I mean, maybe there's some details like... what his parents' names are, I get that. Like, maybe not everybody knows that his parents are Thomas and Martha, and I guess that comes into play later, obviously. Oh, but
that was so weak, though.
Yeah, I was like, so you put in an origin story, and you're having Jeffrey Dean Morgan, like, whisper Martha in order for people to, like, oh... You gotta remember
that's
this.
That's what ends up changing Batman from, you know, stopping him from killing Superman.
Because
if anything, if anything, that would make me feel like he would want to kill you even more.
He's like, why? Don't curse my mother's name. It's like, why? Why'd you say Martha? It was like, that's his mom.
Yeah.
That's his mom.
Oh, we could be best friends now.
Oh, we have the same mother's name.
We're cool.
Let's drink beer sometime. Like, come on, man. It's not. Like that in itself. Like that one, I know that's supposed to be the oh my god. Like
they're cool.
Yeah, that's the climax of the movie. This is the turning point. Yeah. Like no, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And if that's what superheroes are doing, then fuck them. Like that was all right.
You're finding similarities in their parents' name brings them together. Like oh, your mom's name, mine too. Let's go.
Let's go.
We can be friends now instead of trying to kill each other.
Oh my god.
Yeah, if every spy was named Bond, I guess. Yeah. Like,
that's true.
I don't know. It just sounds like a very boring and very sad reboot. And this looks really bad for all of DC films.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Zack Snyder is on a contract for the next ones, right?
He's on for Suicide Squad. He's on for the next.
Oh, he did Suicide
Squad?
But not directed. I think
he's
involved.
He's a producer.
Yeah, he's a producer.
And then I think he's committed to doing the next
Justice League 2,
film. Yeah.
I think he's probably contracted for the whole DC.
No, I don't think they'll have.
Because he's involved in Wonder Woman for sure.
I think he's involved in at least another one.
Maybe for the big three. I doubt he'll do like...
No, he's not going to direct... like Wonder Woman, but he's gonna be a part of somehow, whether it be producing, directing, writing, in some facet.
Why'd they go so into, why'd they just bet so much on Zack Snyder?
Well, because he's never had a flop. I mean, when you think
that's
about
true.
It, I mean, Sucker Punch was not good, but Sucker Punch was also so cheap it could kind of afford to not be good.
Yeah,
but when you think about it, but I mean, what's name a movie that's lost substantial money? Like, you can't really, I can't,
that's
think
true.
Of
like,
one.
He's done 300, like,
did
you
he
mentioned.
Do the 300?
He produced it. He produced it,
okay, but he's still a part of it,
but
he did Dawn of the Dead,
Dawn of the Dead, and that was
he cold. Did Dawn of the Dead,
the reboot? He directed,
I think so,
And I think those are like the major ones that I know of him.
Mm-hmm. And then it's Watchmen. And I
Watchmen was good though.
That was good.
Yeah, Watchmen was good, but you know what? A lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sucks. You know, I think later on people will understand. Wow, that was actually a really good, you know, telling of that story.
Yeah.
But
was that the one with the blue guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. But I think it was like
penis everywhere.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like it because it was just, you know, so long and there were so many intense moments that I can see made people uncomfortable. But I mean, it wasn't like, you know, blockbuster like crazy nuts like make the large amount.
There wasn't a lot of hype behind
the thing about Watchmen is that they have like a cult following.
Oh, that's true.
So
how much of a cult following is there for the Justice League? like for the whole league.
I don't think for the whole league. The fact that everyone has their favorite superhero or anti-hero or whatever, or villain or whatever. So they're banking on that there's a lot of people like Superman, a lot of people like Batman. I don't know who likes Martian Manhunter, but they're going to throw him in there in the Justice League anyways. And it's like, let's put all these characters that we grew up reading about on the screen, because that's what everybody's always wanted to see.
Who was the last person that they went to that was kind of Frankenstein-esque during the sequence of showing the Justice Cyborg. League? Cyborg. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
You see, you don't know anything.
I went in as a
See, fan. But that's like, they're trying to reboot all that. And what they don't understand is that DC was never more famous than Marvel.
No.
They've
always been rivals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, Marvel has always been on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And DC's a little kind of, I feel like they're a little bit slow to the draw sometimes, too. Because now that they've, I mean, because Marvel's been doing these combinations of, like, you know, characters that you would be interested in seeing in the same film, mm-hmm. And DC's just now getting to that.
Yeah.
But now Marvel's kind of going on to this, I don't know if you guys saw Deadpool, but again, it was like another film that was like good because it was refreshing, mm-hmm. But it wasn't too serious. The sense of humor was on point, but the action was also there. Like, but that was rated R, and now that's kind of changing. Like how, like
the entire game.
Because the next Wolverine film that finally got greenlit to be like, you know, rated R.
Yeah.
Because then the studio saw, okay, we can put a rated R movie out there now, and
people are gonna like it.
Yeah, and people will see it. Yeah, and DC's just now. I mean, I feel like they just evolves slower almost, if that makes sense.
Was the apprehension for making movies rated R?
Because it decreases your audience, and then you can't, you know what I mean? You can't show it to as many people.
But you know what? I think, I mean, wasn't The Dark Knight?
It could have been rated R. It was PG-13, but you can kind of see where it
could have went down. Like, it definitely, that's true. It kind of was. It
got gritty.
Yeah.
Got real gritty.
No. Well, the way Heath Ledger was as a Joker.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it's like, that's all we need to say about it.
No, like, everybody knows, right? Everybody knows. We don't need to say
it. We're talking about it.
This is Joker mic drop. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not even because I know some people, like, they say because you get, you kind of romanticize the past and you get nostalgic, but that really has nothing to do with it. It was really just a sick performance. And whether, you know, I mean, if he continued making movies after that or not, like, it was still a sick performance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, like, he managed to make a character that you're so familiar with, like, unexpected.
And also, I think it's because everyone was betting against him as well.
Right.
Because when they announced, just like how they announced Ben Affleck to be Batman, they announced Heath Ledger to be the Joker. It's like, no way. There's no way he could do it. Like, the guy from 10 Things I Hate About You, Brokeback Mountain.
A nice
guy. God, nice guy. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen. And then he pops up in the screen and everybody's like, dang. Yeah. And that's what got him.
I think for me, what I liked about Heath Ledger was I couldn't see him behind the mask. You saw Christian Bale, you can see him as Bruce Wayne and Batman. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell that was Heath Ledger, and I think that's what made the performance that much better. You know
what's crazy? When I heard that it was going to be Heath Ledger, I thought the exact same thing. I actually thought, because all I heard was, oh, it's the guy from Brokeback Mountain. And I thought Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm like, oh, yeah, he would be a great Joker, you know?
And you're like, no, the other guy.
And then I find out, oh, it's that Australian guy, right? Isn't he Australian or something?
I think so, he was.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? No, he's not going to pull it off. And I was so impressed, too. Mm-hmm. It was probably the most realistic version I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I could say that. Yeah.
Like because you could actually picture it happening, like if you lived in, like, I think they shot it in Chicago, but I feel like you actually lived there and kind of like, you know what I mean, like it seemed feasible, which was weird.
Yeah,
like, cool.
Well, because I think Nolan wanted to keep it somewhat realistic. Like, yeah, there can be a guy dressed like a vigilante with bat ears on, but all his armor, everything was something realistic. That's why all, like, the Batmobile and everything looked realistic, looked military grade, because it was based in reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to have, like, a crazy guy in makeup.
Instead of having an outlandish car that people that
yeah.
is not made, this is something that could be actually feasible and
exactly. Made, okay. But finding ways to justify it all to make it really seem like it could be real. I feel like that's everything that what
I think that's what made everybody like it, because it's like, oh, this could really happen, and that looks like Chicago.
And that's what Batman Superman didn't do. I feel like, because like you see this Wonder Woman character, and if I didn't know anything about Wonder Woman, I'd have no idea why she has powers or why she's even involved. Or
I think that's what Marvel did right before bringing in the Avengers, is that they had. Their characters had their own individual movie and gave them a backstory, an original, like an origin story for them. Because not everybody knows about Captain America. I didn't know about Captain America that much, and I didn't watch it until probably 2 weeks before the Avengers came out, because I was planning on watching it. So I honestly think that's what Marvel's done good, is that they gave them their own story so people get to know these characters. If you throw in a couple random people in here, and like Wonder Woman is like, why is she around since 1918, and why is Lex Luthor interested in her and these other metahumans?
No story to that. It was just kind of Gal Gadot was there.
Yeah.
There was no, I mean, and the camera angle focused on her, and we all knew she was Wonder Woman, but
she was like on a plane and going to the Bahamas on vacation, and then she gets like, ah, fuck, these fools are fighting. Man, I gotta bust out the cuffs. Get my lasso. Like, what a convenient way to find out, I guess.
Yeah. It was like, oh, it's on TV. I'm gonna play.
On the plane.
Dang. All right, let's go. And that was like right after she got her picture that she really desperately wanted.
Picture?
She had a, that's why she was, she took, there's a scene where he goes to the benefit with Lex Luthor, and she put it back in his car. It's because Lex had something of his. It was a picture. It happened to be a picture of her and Chris Pine back in the day. Which is like a cut scene for a Wonder Woman movie, I think.
I think
Wonder they're starting Wonder off there. Next. So they're having her origin story back in the 1900s.
So you're right, this movie was a trailer for just a big thing.
It's such a trailer. Yeah. Like, the entire time I was like, oh, that's Chris Pine.
It's a 2.5-hour trailer.
Exactly.
Doesn't it become relatively obvious, like, why this was created then? And then
definitely. I think everybody knew that this is just going to be a trailer for Justice League. I wished that they didn't pull out a trailer with Doomsday on it. If they would have kept that secret,
I think...
Everybody would have enjoyed the movie better. But because everything was already out there on Front Street, they're all like, okay, this is what I'm going to see. And Doomsday, too, as well. So.
Well, and which, by the way, if that was supposed to be Doomsday, that is awful. Like, just cut off, like, a great fucking, like, continuous storyline, you know?
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I think it's obvious that they just rushed into this whole, like, league thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
I think because they're obviously trying to catch up to Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was thinking initially when it came out in Comic-Con, it was just Batman v Superman. How did it turn into just everything squished into this small, like, its container, and then with no real?
I'm telling you right now, it's, you know, fucking people inside the industry or in the, like, WB or whatever, just being like, oh, look, like, statistically, like, you know, Aquaman's pretty popular. It's, you know, now that I punch these fucking numbers, you know, and make up, like, what the audience is.
Didn't it feel like when you were watching it that there were, like, either severe, like, re-edits or, like, reshoots that happened, or that ideas came up, like, between... Because I feel like if you cut out Wonder Woman, it would have been the exact same film.
Definitely.
I mean, it would have been better because it would have been more compact, but, like, if you took out a lot of those characters, it would have been the exact same movie, I feel like, especially the ones that they did for the Justice... I mean, for the, you know, like, Aquaman and all that.
I feel like the last half hour would have been fine. Like, you could have taken out everything about the Justice League and why... Yeah.
You could have dropped Easter eggs... Yeah. And not fully show sequences of, okay, there's Aquaman, there's the Flash, and it would have been okay. But to stuff everything in there and overload it, that's a bit too much. And that's probably why it wasn't as well received as it should have been.
Yeah, I think it was more like, you know, we're going to put all these eggs and we're going to, you know, tell everybody and start, like, rumors that, oh, you know, it's going to have this person or it's going to have this person. And you're focusing too much on bringing in the audience without focusing on the actual...
Because you already knew who Aquaman is. You already know who the Flash is going to be. Why stuff them into a movie where they don't? You could just have a symbol, maybe, or, like, that picture with Wonder Woman and Chris Pine.
See, I mean, it's just, well, we dissected that shit. Yeah. I mean, like, we know like what it was all about.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of what you said. I mean, this probably gonna trip you out a little bit, but you know the last Spider-Man that they did with Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
When they started shooting, Venom wasn't in the shooting script at all.
In the third one,
yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of tell though.
It was added, you know what I mean, like midway through production.
That was Venom too.
Mm-hmm. It's not just like you could tell
because there wasn't,
that movie sucks.
There wasn't really a climax to Venom. It was just kind of, he was there, he took over for a little bit, and then at the end he was gone,
and then he brought about the worst dancing ever.
It
single-handedly ruined his career.
Oh, definitely.
Really? It, like,
once you're going down the street, that, like, you're,
dude, that movie,
like, you're John Travolta.
That one movie, like, because the second one was pretty good,
yeah,
and arguably better than the first.
Oh, definitely. I enjoy that,
right? Honestly. But the third one was just,
I was so confused. I was like, why is he so emo, and why is he dancing down the street and freaking out all these women? And
his highlights, his whole just persona was bad in that movie.
And it can make sense if he's like, oh, Venom. But then Venom came and went.
Poor Tobey Maguire, man. Poor guy. He thought, it, like, oh, man, I'm going to be Spider-Man forever. That's the one I'll be known. I'm going to be...
Yeah.
And that's what you got known for.
Yeah. I got two good ones out of it. I'm not going to... I wouldn't feel bad for him. You know what
I
mean?
Made a shit ton of money, too, so...
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. You got to play Spider-Man in two movies that were actually well-received.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know...
Yeah, that's cool. That's all writers right there, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then acting choices as well.
It's done, man. It's done. It's over.
Yeah. I can't with that one.
I know.
It's still in the shelf and it has dust on it.
Which, by the way, you know, the guy who played Lex Luthor, I thought was going to do a better job. Like, I actually thought, well, you know what? This guy's in it. You know, and maybe it'll be a good Lex Luthor, or it'll be like,
and he's a good actor too.
He is a good actor, and I don't know if it was his idea to do it that way, but fuck, man, it's such a misrepresentation of what Lex Luthor is.
Oh, definitely.
Do you think, because in some ways of Eisenberg acting, he kind of felt like the Joker from Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. And I hate to keep getting on his nuts and everything, but yeah, Heath Ledger. It's like, I feel like, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg was trying to kind of like reimagine the character in such a way that would be super kind of like, you know, like true to the character, but like also different.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, like I think essentially that was an imitation as well. That was an imitation of a performance that was done just in a superior movie.
Yeah, I just imagine him like watching... every Batman that he could find, and so like, who's the character here, and try to get a little bit from everybody.
Yeah,
and it didn't go out that well.
Yeah, you know, it was almost when I actually saw him, I was like, wait a minute, isn't this supposed to be Jared Leto? You know, like, isn't he playing the new Joker?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so it was kind of weird watching that. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of takes away. Just the character. Now, if you try to bring it back, I don't know if they're gonna keep him. Is he gonna be the same Lex Luthor? They gotta bring.
What depends? Does he have like a change in jail?
Gets all grown up. His voice stops squeaking, and
And then he turns more. If he turns more serious, I think that you can go somewhere with that. I'll follow you down that alley.
Yeah.
But if he goes back to the Joker-esque, then no, I can't follow.
You gotta quit that shit.
Yeah.
No, just tell like some sort of like half-assed like Lex Luthor origin story, because you think about it, this is the first time the characters appeared in the reboots, right? He wasn't in the Man of Steel, I don't think.
No. But he was in the previous Supermans with Chris Reeve, I think.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
But
Superman Returns. But he was older.
In the old school ones, yeah. But I mean, like, as this version of the character.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
I think this was just them being like, okay, let's try to be creative and artistic. And I think they're trying
to get like the big bads in really quickly, for some reason, just to like, oh my god, Lex Luthor, because he's like one of the most well-known villainous characters in DC world, and they're like, let's just throw him in there just to see what people think about it, and he did not work out at all. I didn't like it. He couldn't.
Yeah, his motivation.
He needs to cut his hair.
And I think I don't really like his choices either.
No.
It was awful. it was really bad. Like, I really felt bad for him because I don't think it's his idea to play it that way. He's pretty awesome. Smart. Yeah. And yeah, everything I've seen him in,
Zombieland.
Zombieland was
the one. Let's start with the Facebook movie.
Social network. Shit, man. There's been
that magician movie.
Oh yeah.
I forget that one. That's.
And you know what? Like, all right. I know this is kind of changing movies, but you know the one that Kevin Spacey played in. I like the way Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor.
Yes.
I thought it was that one. It was an homage to the original one, but it was so on point. I thought that was more realistic of a Lex Luthor than this one.
Definitely, because Lex Luthor is an asshole, but he's a charismatic one, and the way Kevin Spacey played him was really great.
That's what I'm saying. Lex Luthor, he's supposed to be like pretty fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And every iteration of him, he's been like that. Like, take Lex Luthor in Smallville. Mm-hmm. Like, he was there for who knows how long. I like that Lex Luthor,
even though honestly. He was young, he was still on point.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. And he was always... You could tell, like... It took him, however long Michael Rosenbaum was on that show for. And you could see the evolution of Lex Luthor. Like, he was this nice guy that they're trying to get to know Clark Kent.
Yeah.
But then you obviously see where the... how he gets so demented at the end and why and everything. Like, this Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg, he's just like a hipster asshole. Like, that's Sony's, like,
that version of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that because they're trying to, like, focus on, like, this era of, like, young people, millennials, is what he was, like, coming at me. I was like, I don't even like these people. Why are you going to do that to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. Not with him. That's so serious. I didn't like him. The only good thing about that entire movie was Ben Affleck.
What?
Honestly, in my opinion, Ben Affleck was the best
part. Why you say that name? Why that name?
I think my favorite thing about Batman was I liked how he just randomly woke up in that bed with that chick, and they never ever explained that.
He's like looking around, bottles of wine everywhere.
I thought they were gonna like cut in so we could see like
who the girl was.
Yeah, you know, at the very least. But now in the next shot, she's like out. I'm just like, damn, you just like pay her and just like, okay, get the fuck out, or.
So
I mean, he has the money. That's true. He has the money.
No, I like Batman. He was the best one. Yeah.
Over Superman.
I don't know.
Everyone did a crappy job.
Everybody fucked up evenly here. I don't know. Was equally. This is it was tough to watch, man. I could almost see the green screen too. You know, like
man, a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
A lot. And that's what he was going back to earlier with being realistic, is that there was too much CGI. Oh, like Christopher Nolan? Yeah, there was too much CGI rather than a real world. Like, at the end fight scene, it was... I can see where you were saying there. You can see the green screen because it was horrible.
Yeah, I don't know this for sure, but I would guess that the Dark Knight trilogy had, like, a lot less green... there's probably, like, less green screens in the entire trilogy than I would imagine in the reboot. I would bet.
The amount was all stuffed into that last fight scene of Batman v Superman. If you take away from all the Batmans.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense, though, in the sense that you're dealing with people with... I mean, when you go into characterization, you're dealing with people that are superhuman. Mm. Like, there's a guy that flies. There's a girl that was super powerful.
You know what I mean?
But you could have made it...
There's a giant.
Jesus Christ. That was horrible. The more I talk about it, the more I hate it. Because I was telling people, I could see why people hated it. I gave it a little chance, but the more you talk about it. Yeah.
Like, I walked in knowing that it was going to be a shitty movie. I had been saying it from the get-go. Like, oh, that's going to be a shitty movie. Like, no, Batman's going to be great, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, nah.
Because everyone's banking on Batman to be great because of how Batman was portrayed in previous films.
Why can't people analyze? Like, look, it's a different guy who plays Batman. Like, it's a different director. Like, come on. Even the commercials show that it's not...
Oh, it's completely nothing different. Yeah. I could say that. Yeah.
Yeah, but... You
Because you want to give it some chance. you don't want to just go in negative, but that's right. When
you're being way too optimistic. You need to cut that shit down.
You're over here.
Is that the same feeling you had when you watched Jurassic World?
You know what? I'll tell you the similarities in Jurassic World and Batman v Superman.
He has something about Jurassic
World. Do you remember the
actress that played the redhead?
Yeah.
I thought she was horrible. Her acting was horrible. Her placement in the movie was horrible. In the same way I felt about her, I felt about Amy Adams as Lois Lane. Mm.
You just don't like redheads. Is what I'm hearing.
I don't mind redheads, but it was just her acting. She seemed dejected from the whole movie. Her acting was horrible, and
she had no real role. Like,
not really.
No, there's no real reason for her to be there. Right?
Well, because all you hear was Superman is Lois Lane. Superman, Lois Lane. So, or Clark Kent, Lois Lane. That's why she was a part of the movie, but...
Well, look, check this out. If you took her out, and completely, just like you said earlier, I mean, if you took her out, I mean, the story would have been actually kind of better, because if you really think about it, she was the one that kind of, like, caused Superman to get caught or whatever. She was also the one that threw away the spear, and then went back to get it. Almost like, you know what? If you had just not existed right now, like, nothing would have changed. So, I mean, it's awful. It was just... They knew they had to add her because she was a popular character.
Probably second most popular in the whole... In the whole Superman comic book series, right?
I guess behind Lex Luthor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anybody else.
I haven't seen the polls when it comes to Superman.
I know. I can't see the statistics now, Freddie.
Sorry.
What? And, you know, there's a lot to be said about the trailer, because the trailer for this one, I gotta say, was pretty shitty. What didn't look shitty from the trailer was the new X-Men Armageddon film. That looked pretty badass.
He actually told me about the trailer.
How do you not see the trailer?
I didn't see this trailer until he told me about it. And he was like, well, you need to watch it.
I haven't seen one X-Men movie, but you know what? It looks dope.
Well, that's actually a pretty pure response. You know what I mean? If you're not even a fan.
No. And that's the point of view I'm trying to come from, is that I didn't read the comics. I didn't watch the cartoons. I'm a brand new fan.
Yeah.
Just trying to watch a movie and see if I like it.
Yeah.
And that's where my opinions are coming from.
But your eye does look sick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. I try to ask her, who are the gods? Who's this person?
Ooh, wow. That's interesting.
Because I don't know. I go to her for my comic book.
And then I have to research.
Yeah.
Because he automatically assumes that I know everything about every character from
every character, but I know you read the comic books. So I'd assume that when I asked you about something...
I watched the cartoon in the 90s. That's pretty much a Gambit. Give me some Gambit. I'll do that. Do you not know?
I just want the guy with the cards.
That's Gambit.
That guy. See, I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
Well, I watch the cartoons, too. That's how I know most of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then from the cartoons, I would read the comics.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I'm a 90s, like... put in front of the television and stop talking, you know, kind of kid. That's how it was. But, I mean, I kind of enjoyed the way the X-Men trilogy was rebooted, right? I mean, all the characters were already introduced, and then now you have this
And their whole, story finished as well with the...
Their story did finish.
The first three of the trilogy... Their story finished.
Yeah, their story finished, and now they're rebooting it, and they did it in such an awesome way, where now you see a much longer and much more crazier scenario style, which actually is the original, you know, storyline of the actual of the comic, and it's I think it's a little bit more philosophical now, right?
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. Only because they're trying to figure out, like, they, like, trilogy, they know exactly who they are. They know they're mutants. They know that whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they finish their story. Now you're going back and you're seeing their origins, obviously, X-Men origins and all these stuff. And they're trying to figure out exactly who they are. And in a way, showing everybody else, dang, I lost my train of thought.
Well, also, they have an alternate ending, which is far worse than what actually happens, right? Yeah. I mean, so what actually happened is the way their story ends, which is the first, you know, storyline of the comic. But now you go back, and now you have...
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past.
Which completely and then, changed how the first trilogy ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because of the events that happened.
Yeah, no, it was cool that they actually kind of wiped all of that out. Because I mean, I think everyone agrees typically that the first two were really, really good. And yeah. And then once they got past the third one, they started kind of going downhill a bit. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they've managed to find a way to erase all of that in a way that makes sense within the continuity story of the film,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and now they can they have freedom now. They can do whatever they want with these characters because mm-hmm. all of it's been changed. You know, so I mean. I think just because of that, like, that's a pretty good accomplishment to wipe out, you know, three or four really bad films.
Exactly.
Wolverine. Yeah, a lot of fucking Wolverine films.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus. But now, like, you have this worse ending with, you know, Apocalypse and, you know, the three or the four, right?
Four Horsemen.
Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's how it is.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It could have been five. Five Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Nine, but I mean, it's, I don't know, I'm pretty excited for that shit.
Yeah.
And you know, originally I wasn't, because I was like, man, they're not gonna get, you know, what's the bad guy's name?
Apocalypse
is you know, because he grows, expands, like, yeah. That the CGI is gonna be so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And in Days of Future Past, when they have those teeny tiny extra scenes after the credits or in between the credits, you see Apocalypse in Egypt, and he's like this regular sized man, and I was like, that looks like Apocalypse, but it doesn't look like Apocalypse. And then the fact that you see, and now in the trailers that are coming out, they're like, oh yeah, they're sticking with what he is and doing that, so I appreciate that for sure. But also, I couldn't see Sansa Stark as Jean Grey, though. That's all I see her as.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can't wait to hear her American accent.
Oh, my God, for real.
It's going to be sick, right?
Yeah, because after six seasons of Sansa Stark, to see her as... I don't know the actress's name, but to see her as Jean Grey is going to throw me off a little bit. Yeah.
I love her on that show, though, so if they had to... And I really like The Last Jean Grey, too. I mean,
who's playing the new Jean Grey?
Sansa Stark? I forget her name. From Game of Thrones.
All right, I'm going to have to look this up.
Do you not watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh, Lord.
Let me go to my phone.
Yeah.
Guys, keep talking X-Men.
Let's keep talking X-Men. Let's
keep talking X-Men.
Do you not know X-Men?
No, I don't. That's why I...
Oh, you're going to go. You're grabbing your phone for research.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you better start taking notes, man. Yeah. So, back in the day, there was a man named Professor X.
Yeah, I know that.
He was a charismatic man.
used to walk.
Who's the internet? Yeah.
And he's British.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that plays him? He was in...
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Stewart.
He's the original. Who's the new one?
Oh, McAvoy? Oh,
James McAvoy.
Yes, I love him.
What?
In Wanted?
Wanted, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
just saying.
Anyway, what was the name again?
What? Sansa Stark? I don't know her.
Sans of Stark?
Sansa.
Close enough.
It'll pop up at some point.
She has a big forehead.
Oh, shit.
Dang. There she is.
I don't think so.
Is that not her?
That's her.
That's her.
That's her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scroll down to see who plays her. Portrayed by Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner.
That's her name.
Sophie. Yeah. And then Macy Williams is her sister.
Where you guys seen this? Sophie Turner?
Sophie Turner.
Oh no.
What are you talking about?
No. She's gonna play Jean Grey?
Why are you doing based on this photo?
Well, because it's a picture of her. That's why.
Well, look her up, Sophie Turner as Jean Grey on marketing shots.
Yeah. But can you tell a lot from a marketing shot? I mean, come on. Henry Cavill, Superman. Marketing shot.
All right, I got it.
We're only basing on looks, not portrayals.
Well, this exactly is, well, this is exactly what...
It's what we're doing.
Not like acting skills.
Really? This one?
For those who can't see.
I know. I'm sorry, people. You guys can't see this, but fuck, man.
Google.
Google Sophie Turner.
She's a Playboy model.
Is she?
I don't know. Judging from that one picture.
That's not her.
Okay, see.
Are these... Who are
the
these
redheads.
People?
The redheads
are her?
The redhead.
The redheads are coming.
is this her as Jean Grey? I don't know.
Yeah, they probably don't have it up yet then.
If they have a trailer, they're with her in it.
Well, when's the movie coming out?
August. No, May 27th.
Yeah. Oh, are they? Okay.
I would know.
You guys don't have to advertise. I don't get any money for it.
I know. But the only reason I know is because it's Snooze's birthday. So
I'm asking. I mean, I know Suicide Squad's on my birthday, so.
No,
you
man.
You don't like it?
She looks like,
no.
She looks like Emma Blunt from here. She could have played her.
Dang. I'm not convinced.
Just like Superman, Batman v Superman, not convinced.
Yeah, I'm not. Sorry. Like, I get it. I see what you're doing. Nah.
What studio makes X-Men?
Fox.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was Disney. Oh, X.
Yeah. X-Men. Fox.
I thought it was Marvel, no?
Marvel.
Well, it's a Marvel comic, but it's not...
But Marvel's
just like
owned
Superman
by Disney.
Came out of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, but Marvel's owned by Disney.
Yeah, but there's still. Different... There's different...
Different characters are owned by different... Companies,
so what
studios.
Happened was that Marvel
what
was going.
Happened,
what
had
happened was Marvel the company was going bankrupt, and so they ended up selling their licenses to different studios. So that's why Spider-Man's made with Sony, why Deadpool and X-Men are with Fox, and then the rest of it Marvel kept, and then that's when they started their Marvel movie production company, and then they were sold to Disney after the fact.
Oh.
So that's what happened. That's why you'll never see, which is really weird, that you'll see Spider-Man with the Avengers.
Because he's with Sony for so long.
He's with Sony still.
They let go of the leash. Or at least they gave
for this
slack
movie,
for them,
yeah.
Maybe. Oh, that sucks.
That's why you'll never see Avengers with X-Men.
But they have to do weird things to keep these rights, though. Because there was a Fantastic Four movie before the one that we
Yeah, you
saw.
Have to
yeah.
make a movie
with
you
the
could
character
stop
every few
years.
5 years. To keep,
every
isn't
5 years.
Nuts? That means that there's going to be
that's
another.
That's why there's so many reboots of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because you had the Tobey Maguire, and then you had the most recent one with, what's his name?
I don't know.
I already forgot.
So that means we're going to keep seeing these movies until they
definitely.
Stop making money.
Yeah. Exactly. Because people always want to give it a chance. Like, maybe this time they'll get it right. And they don't. And then they'll wait another 5 years.
What
and there's
fantastic. It's going to be like a fucking...
Every 5 years, they're like, fuck shit, I need another dose.
No, this is so reminding. It's going to be like The Matrix, where every decade or so, like, actual Christopher Nolan will come along.
Oh, my God.
Amazing with one of these. And then we'll be like, yes, they got Superman right this time. And I was there, and I lived to see it. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Oh, God.
But there's going to be a lot of bad superhero movies, I think, for a long time. A long time.
Because they're so popular now. Well, not just with their...
Now it's okay.
Not with just their, you know, their original audience of, like, the people grew up watching the TV shows or the reading the comic books. Popular with mainstream regular people now that have never seen them. They're like, oh, it's a superhero movie. It's kind of fun. Let's go watch it. And that's why they're going to keep making them, making them, making them.
Until they seriously just don't make money anymore.
Exactly. But the thing is, now they're branching off to, like, television and
Netflix.
And there's still Netflix and stuff like that.
I think there's a little bit less interest in comic book movies now. Because this is, like, sort of the beginning of the end, possibly. And on top of that, when you go into shows now, I mean, the problem with those things is that you start saturating it. People see it all the fucking time. And let's see, the original, Spider-Man came out, 2003?
Somewhere around there.
99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I was 99 or 2000.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. I feel like I was the turn really young.
Super young.
Super young.
Holy shit.
And it's been around since then, and they're still cranking out these movies.
Yeah, but, the Spider-Man movies haven't been doing so well since the first three. Right?
No.
Box office wise, no. But I kind of digged the Andrew Garfield ones. There you go. That's his name.
See, but those didn't even...
They didn't make box office wise, no.
Yeah, and there was a lot of pushback on that very actor playing, you know? And on top of that, Batman obviously dropped the ball. Superman hasn't really kicked off. And there's been a growing negative feedback against the Avengers. The last one.
I liked it.
Was it the last one? The first one, I think. The first one was
it was okay, but the second one, because I liked the. Who's the?
Are you talking like plot, or are you talking like real life? Because that's what
Avengers. What? What? Why you gotta say it like that?
Because
what we're talking about here, because
Civil War is based off that. There's negative feedback on the Avengers, and that's why that's coming through. So maybe this is like kind of meta. They're like, you guys aren't liking us, but so we're gonna give you another movie about you guys not liking us. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because really cool. I've never heard of that, because of the people not liking the Marvel movies right now, because they're still pretty big. The thing is, I could understand where you're coming from. You're cranking out movies every year.
Well, the thing is that they're not. Well, the thing is that they're not. I mean, yeah, they're making the money, but the interest has already shown to be declining.
Yeah.
So I mean, just like this movie, I mean, it broke box office records. It beat the original Batman's by a huge margin.
Yeah.
You know. But, I mean, now it's seen as a joke. And when you have this big bad of, like, a hit, it resonates with the audience. So the first thing they'll think about is, like, man, that one Batman movie, you know, remember when they did that shit? That was awful. Like, let's never watch another fucking movie.
But I think the audience is smart enough to know that.
No, they're dumb.
I think there's some that might have like a little bit of IQ to know that this Batman is completely different from what other production companies are doing. You know what I mean? So, but they could tell there's a separation. Like, Marvel movies are great, DC movies not so much.
Perhaps
they could see that.
Perhaps, yeah.
So it might hit DC really bad. But these we'll numbers get interest more on Marvel because Marvel's doing it right.
Perhaps, yeah. And that's why they're testing out other comics, right?
Yeah. So sad.
But, I mean, they're going to do the exact same thing to other comics. And, you know, as far as they can go. And, you know, the more money that is involved, I mean, these producers are going to react the exact same way that this movie came out. It's like, oh, we got to stuff this fucking character and this fucking character.
That's why I think the television shows and, like, the Netflix Daredevil, Arrow, Flash are doing really well. Only because they get 22 hours in a season to tell their entire story.
Super long movie. And also, there's less hands in the pot.
Exactly. And you only have, a new director each week or whatever. But you have the same group of writers that are writing together and they're... Yeah. A team trying to get this story out there. And the majority of the writers that are working today are legit comic book fans, at least from the shows that I watch. And they care about where the material is coming from, and they want to do justice by it and not just stuffing it into 2 hours. They have
the integrity of the character.
Exactly. They have an entire 22-23 hours to tell their story
and mold the character in the way they want it to be.
Yeah. Shown. That's why I think TV is doing way better than movie franchises right now. Like, I love Marvel movies and stuff like that, but my go-to has always been that television.
Well, I think it's the streaming that's doing really well. Anyone who's streaming right now is like, because everything has to be mobile.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? We have to be able to watch it whenever we want. Mm-hmm. And like the idea of actually being controlled by a TV schedule just seems archaic now.
Yeah.
You know?
No. I'm living in a stone age because I live everything by my TV schedule, but that's just me.
What?
I watch television live. Several different shows I have to watch them live.
What shows?
Like I meant Flash, Arrow. I watch live.
I don't watch any of
those.
The Walking Dead, I watch live.
You actually watch... Do you don't record like TiVo and watch it? You actually watch it in real time?
I will watch it in real time.
That's crazy.
I know. I know. There's so many... Like, Game of Thrones, definitely I have to watch that live. For sure. I'm so deep in social media that I can't deal with spoilers. So I have to do it.
Oh, you're right. Because even if you...
Because depending on who you follow, I could definitely unfollow different people. If you get on
Facebook at the wrong time or Instagram at the wrong time, you're going to see a spoiler.
Especially if you're a West Coast like we are, then you can.
And I've had some shit ruined for me on that show. Now
I unfriended a friend. It's a mutual friend of ours because he told me.
He has a friend that works for The Walking Dead, and he gets the green screens episodes.
Yeah.
So they'll watch them. And he'll ruin it on purpose because he knows it annoys people.
I had to unfriend him. And I was like, I'm not going to talk to you ever in real life. I need to stop this. So,
like, we can be cool outside of this, but like,
we're not going to talk about anything. Yeah. Between October and April, we're not friends at all. So.
Spoilers. That is so serious.
I'm serious about my television.
I don't know. I'm just
a fan of creativity and this genre.
I only do that when I have to work and there's a UFC fight I want to watch. I have to stop my Bleacher Report, my ESPN. I can't look at my phone until I go home and watch the fight or whatever fight it is.
Well, that makes sense because it's a live event and there's only one time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the people that annoy me are the ones that record live events. Why? What's the point?
To go back and relive.
Yeah, because you can't. Oh, well, like, you mean after, even though you were there? And what? Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
I mean, just to go back.
Like, hey, I went to the Dodger game. I
recorded the whole game. I recorded the whole game. Yeah, that does no.
That's a sports. That's a sports junkie in me, right?
All
right,
maybe. Yeah, I guess. But I mean, for me, I mean, I can understand if there was a live event that you couldn't watch live and you record that. That makes sense. But like, you were there, and then you record it.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, if you're occupied with going somewhere and then you wanted to watch a live event later, then you turn off all notifications and turn off your basically just turn off your phone until you get back. I'm not saying I go to the let's say I go to the Dodger game and record the Dodger game. No, two totally different things.
I know some people that do that though.
Why? It's an embarrassment.
It is. Specifically, there's one person does it for Dodger games only because he needs to listen to Vin Scully, broadcast of it. Because you don't hear him at the stadium. He's like, no, I need to listen to him. Yeah. I was like, okay.
I understand that word.
But whatevs.
Really?
Really. Yeah.
You understand that part?
Yeah, because he's...
Vin Scully is like the Dodgers pretty much. Yeah.
And that's why I understand it, because it's Vin Scully. But just say the Laker game. I mean, Lakers don't have Chick anymore. So why would you record a Laker game to hear the broadcast back if you're already there watching?
I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, that's what you're making fun of me earlier, is what I'm saying. It's not Vince Scully, so why record? But if it's Vince Scully, I understand the recording of the game.
Okay. Well, I don't know. This is just a picture.
Like, we went on such a tangent.
Yeah. Well, the point is, right, that...
I'm rare to be watching live.
Okay. Yeah, television. I was thinking about that. I was, like, wondering, like, if how common that can be now.
I don't think it's very common.
Right.
Now, ever since when did TiVo come around? 10 years ago?
No, I think it's been that. Like
before that,
like 98
commercials. That's why advertisements are having a hard time making money because of the fast forward.
In the long, long time ago, in a far, 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 far
you
world,
know, I'm only like a year younger than you. So speaking of far, far away, I don't know.
My ass over here. I know. I moved like really far away from everything. Yeah,
from everyone.
Oh, everything. Oh, everything. Yeah. But I mean, come on.
it makes sense.
Yeah. Right. I mean, come on. Now
we're going somewhere with TiVo.
Oh yeah, it ruled. But it totally changed the way people watch television now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you don't have to watch ads. Like that was a big thing.
Yeah.
And now we kind of get like offended that we have to watch an advertisement.
A 15-second ad before a YouTube video.
I know. And we get all of those videos for free. Yeah. Do you know how much hardware there is to like do all that? But I mean, at the same time, I still find myself being like, all right, fucking skip this one. Oh, yeah, I can't skip this one. Yeah. Fuck! You know, throwing such a huge tangent. Yeah. But
it's, you know, 15 seconds rather than 2.5 minutes during a live broadcast or whatever you're watching. TiVo, man.
It's fast worth forward. It, depending on what you're watching. At least for me.
Like, HBO I get because there's no commercials, but like CW, where you have to watch 2.5, 3 minutes... Or five minutes
now
with the volume blasted up.
Like it takes over your speakers and doesn't let you turn it down.
No, commercials are.
We're projecting here.
You really don't like commercials.
Who likes commercials though? Nobody. Like and blasted up.
I don't either, but depending on the show that you're watching, at least the shows that I watch, they're completely
worth
it.
You're the first person I've ever met that said, watching this commercial is worth
my life.
I never said I was watching the commercials. There's other
like,
things
there's
you
like
can
two,
do. There's
usually
phone,
two
blah, blah, blah.
Or three times that they play commercials. That's 15 minutes of your life that you just came to commercials.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You know it's the price.
Yeah, it's worth it.
That's okay. I value my time.
You value your time. I don't. Not apparently.
No, it's just a sacrifice you're down.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Sorry, bro. I had to break it down like that because that's what's happening.
I know. Well, I think of it this way. Why do I have to wait 24 hours to go onto Hulu or Netflix?
You don't have to wait 24 hours. You record the show. Do something else. And then, okay, when the show is 45 minutes past, then you can start watching it and fast forward to other commercials. And
yeah, I don't have DirecTV like that, dude.
You have Time Warner.
Yeah, we don't have that.
You need a DVR. Just saying.
I'd rather
not. But DVRs are a scam, man. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
That's a whole nother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
it's the cable company. To rent $5 each month for.
I know it costs them $5 to buy, and they're charging me $15.
Yeah.
To rent that shit a month.
Yeah.
Fuck yourself. No, but yeah, that's essentially what happened to Batman and Superman.
It fucked us.
So no, seriously, I mean, but I don't know.
I don't know how to close this off.
Yeah, I don't know how to close this off, but I mean, thanks for coming on.
For sure.
I think we now all understand what happened. This horrible ground zero event that happened.
And the aftermath.
How obviously we're all still shucking up.
Some more than others.
Right? I mean, I'm a huge Batman fan. And even though I don't go do a lot of comic book things, like I grew up reading those comic books and watching those movies and cartoons and buying the toys and like, you know, getting the shitty, you know, games and puzzles or whatever of Batman.
Good times.
Oh, yeah, man. I was like, I still am a diehard fan. Mm-hmm. But to see it just thrown into the dirt like this, mm-hmm. it's almost, I don't know. There's some like ways to compare and contrast to the one with, what's his name? George Clooney.
Yeah. And how horrible that character was.
Well, just like how ridiculous.
Well, the interpretation of that. Of
yeah, Batman, it was kind of an affront to, you know, the American way. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, yeah. Like, oh, the Discover card. I never leave without it. Like, that was the most. That was Batman's lowest point.
That and the nips. That and the nipple suit. In that same movie. Do you not remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You're the only one that's going to harp on the nipples.
Yes.
No, man.
Everybody... That was bad.
Dude, it was obvious. It was like this Batman's kind of...
It was like even his nipples need armor? Really? Is that serious?
Like, in his Gotham nipples City? Are so... like, you know, like right poking out. Yeah, like...
like, they need him.
I mean, I saw yeah. it, but I didn't pay any attention to it.
He gets burns if without those caps, you know? He gets burns. He gets caped his nipples.
Can't have them scabbed over,
I know, man.
Yes.
It's rough. Anyway, guys, thanks for coming on. So
always gotta close it off with some George Clooney. So
yeah. So anyway, for everybody else, you know where to find us: abspodcast.com. Go ahead and email us any questions, concerns, complaints, or suggestions at anotherbspodcast@gmail.com. And what you gonna call it? Subscribe. Yeah, yeah. I think subscribing
on iTunes,
Stitcher, Blueberry. If anybody uses that, but I'm there too.
Heard of it, but hey,
yeah.
Fruits we can attach. We got apples,
peaches, grapes.
Yeah,
and you know, leave a review, and comment, and what's not. All right, guys. Cool. Have a good weekend. Cool. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. God damn, just what you need to set the hip hop.